For tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Tuesday evening, December the 26th, 1995. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas.
Before I get into the Word, the things that Doc ministered here at the last penicillin reminded me, and I told the men part of this testimony this afternoon. I talked to them about this and gave a great deal of it. The women, there might be some here. In fact, I know there's some here that does. I think I feel led to share how the Lord touched my life. We seem to think so many times that God's not concerned with us, that we're kind of pushed off to the side, and that things that happen to us look like God doesn't really care, or that we've kind of missed God somewhere. I was too young to really get into the depth of God's love and caring for me at the time this happened. At 12 years old, one afternoon, I chased a rabbit and jumped across the fence, a pet rabbit that had gotten out. And every time I'd go across the fence, he'd go through a hole back to the other side. And I'd jump that fence, I must have been 10 times before I got that rabbit pinned up. And the next morning, I got up with a sore ankle. It was so sore I couldn't walk. My house is built on a hill. My father had built 2 rooms under the house. It was so high. He'd concreted the floor and put brick wall up. And we had 2 bedrooms down there, and that's where the boys slept in my family. There were 4 of us at that time. And there were 13 steps up to even to get to the back porch. And I couldn't walk those steps. So, and it was, I was in the 6th grade at elementary school. And it was on Friday morning before Halloween. And there was a Halloween carnival at school, and I had to go so that I could go to that Halloween carnival. So I hopped upstairs. But my mother was in the kitchen cooking breakfast, and she heard the bump all the way up and came to see what was the matter. And my ankle was swollen quite a bit. And she saw right away that I couldn't walk and I couldn't go to school. But she said, "That's all right. We'll carry you to the carnival, Dad." When my father came in, I called him Daddy. She said, "When your father comes in, he'll carry you by the school and let you see the carnival." But I was too sick to go that day, and it didn't really matter that I missed it. Early the next morning, I had a high fever as well as an extremely sore ankle. So Mother called a doctor. In those days, doctors came to your house. You might remember that, yeah. You know, when doctors came to your house. But he did. He came to his house, and she called him at his home before he went to work. And he said he'd just got in. He'd been up on a maternity case all night long. He had just come home. He'd delivered a baby in a person's home. He'd been up all night with it. And as soon as he got up, he'd come by. 10 o'clock, he hadn't come. At 12 o'clock, he hadn't come. And at 1 o'clock, she called the office. This is Saturday now. He's in the office on Saturday. She got him on the phone, and he apologized and said that he had an emergency and had to go to the office, but he would come right then. He had it pretty much under control, and he would come right out to the house. And he came in, and he looked at me. He walked over, and I was sitting in my daddy's big rocking chair with my foot up in our dining chair in front of me, barefooted, 12-year-old boy. And he walked up, and he got me by the big toe and kind of twisted my foot a little bit, and I liked to come out of that chair just for the touching of my toe. He tried to lay a cloth across my ankle, and I couldn't stand it. The pain was so intense. He walked across in front of this old coal stove on the other side of my mother's chair and sat down and kind of stroked his chin. He said, "Miss Coffey, you got a sick son. And he's not going to be well in a day or two. Maybe not in a month or two, and maybe never. If it's what I think it is, I want him in the hospital right now." This was about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And my mother says, well, I can get a hold of James on the job somewhere today. He's paying his men off today, and I can find him. We'll get him there just as soon as we can. At 3:30, they cut a hole in my leg and drilled a hole into the bone. They said the corruption spouted out and hit the wall from the operating table when they pulled the drill out. Doc will know what that is. It's called osteomyelitis is the name of it. So they cut 6-inch hole in my leg, 6 inches longer, and as wide as they could cut down to get to the bone. Then they took a chisel and they chiseled the top half of the bone off so they could get inside the bone to let it drain. And it was draining better than a teacup full a day. And then they asked permission to cut my leg off at my knee. And then also at the same time, they wanted permission when they did it, if it had gone beyond my knee, to cut it off at my hip. And my father says, you aren't going to take his leg off. He says, he'll die if you don't. He says, I don't think so, but you're not going to take his leg off. And they asked him what he was going to do, and he did not know. Taking an awful lot of time, but this was real. To make it a little shorter, by some miracle, he got me in a Shriners hospital. There's a waiting list of 100 children all of the time, 100 boys and 100 girls. And they got me in the boys' part ahead of 100 children because I was going to die if they didn't do something. And the doctor there said, I have had some success with this. So he slapped me in a cast from as high up on my leg as he could get it to the tip of my toes, left a hole in it to dress the incision, and put a crossbar under the bottom so I couldn't turn it. 6 months later, I had outgrown it. They cut it off, and before I could move it, they slapped another one right back on just like it. I said, I'm going to move that knee when they take that thing off. When they started cutting, they turned their back, and I tried to move it, and my whole leg came up just like this, of course. You don't bend joints after they've been immobilized for that length of time. I stayed another 6 months in the cast, and they took it off, and I was better. We checked everybody that had it. All of them died. Every last person that we found that had osteomyelitis in 1935 that we found died. That's because there was no penicillin available. That's what reminded me of all of this. Because later, I had a flare-up, and in 4 days, it took care of it. I took a shot every 4 hours for 4 days, and it took care of it. But what I want to tell you about, now having said all of that, is I was 12 years old when I was 40, about 40 years old, or a few years older, 40. The Lord touched my life to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We were in a dining hall at a local college at a full gospel businessmen's meeting, and they gave the invitation, and my wife nudged me and said, don't you want to go? Not knowing that she had received the baptism a month before, she didn't dare tell me I was a deacon in the Baptist church. And I went, and the man prayed and prayed. There were no chairs in the room. They stood us against the wall. And there must have been 20 or 30 people in that room when I walked in being prayed for. And the man that prayed for me was a little short man. He's been in this place. In fact, he's the man that brought me to this place, Glenn. A little gray-haired man in a gray suit with a gray mustache is the way I tell it. That's exactly what he was. And he said, what do you come for? And I said, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he said, let me pray for you. And he prayed and he prayed, and I would not speak in tongues. And finally I said, brother, I believe in exactly everything you're saying and what you're doing, but I've got to sit down. My leg's about to kill me. And I can show you where I was when I used that kind of a language being the people that we are today. And he said, let me get you a chair. Well, first he asked, what's wrong with it? And I said, I have rheumatism in my knee and in the bottom of my foot from this operation. He said, let me get you a chair. And he went and got a big oak dining chair and put me in it. He said, let me pray for that leg. And he reached down and picked up my ankle. When he did, his hands ran in that scar in my ankle. And I didn't know what had happened. He just said, there's something wrong with this leg. I said, well, I told you I had rheumatism. You know, I thought in my mind I had rheumatism. And I didn't know what he was talking about. But his hands in this left leg, a big scar down there, 6 inches long. Took a lot of meat out of there. And I said, well, that leg's an inch and a half shorter than the other one. He said, it is. Well, thank you, Lord, for lifting this leg out to the right length just like the other one. And it hit me just like that. And it come up my leg from his hand to the top of my head. My hair stood straight up on end. It did. It stood straight up. Did it? When I came out, it was still standing up. I've had my finger in a standard socket. I know what 110 volt feel like, and that's what came up my legs. The exact feeling was 110 volts. Only it was the power of the Most High God. I said in a flash, "What was that?" He said, "Did you feel that?" I jerked, he jerked, my leg jerked, and I got up and tried to walk and couldn't walk because every time I'd take a step, that leg hit the ground before it was supposed to. That leg jumped out there an inch and a half in a flush. I walked flat on both feet flat on the floor right now. You don't see any limp in my feet and my legs. And this is what the Lord did for me. That's how he got my real attention. Now, I had just been saved a few years before this, about 6 years before this, I had received salvation. And I loved the Lord, and I knew that I was saved, and I was walking with the Lord to the best of my ability. Of course, I didn't know anything. But from that point on, the Lord began to deal with me, and I tell it this way, we hit the ground running. We didn't stop, and we haven't stopped yet. We're still learning. I say this so that you will know that you still can learn too. And there's a lot of people come here and give you some good word. The Lord has called many of you, maybe all of you, I don't know, but I know there are many of you that have the calling of God on them this night, and you're not here by accident. Right. This is not something that just happened. For the Lord God would say that he has a work tonight for you, and he needs to clean you up a little more so that you can go forth from this point and this place so you can do the work that he's called you to do. Because as long as we have these spots and blemishes within us, we are not able to complete the work that God has given us. And we're still walking on it. So that's what I wanted to tell you before I started giving you what the Word says tonight. And I just praise the Lord for what he's done for me. Hallelujah. Well, I did not speak in tongues. No, I never did speak in tongues that night. I got so turned on about that leg and my hair standing up on end. And my wife looked at me and she said, "What on earth happened to you?" My eyes were like this. And my hair was standing straight up on end. And we had people from the Baptist church where I was a deacon. And we had people from the Baptist church with us in that meeting. And they drove home with me and me telling about this event that had come to pass within my life. The reason I went was there. I had met a Navy officer on visitation, and he had joined our church, and we had become close friends, and he was about ready to move out of Millington and go on. The Navy was moving him. And he asked me about a week before he was leaving, he said, "Jim, have you received your language yet, your heavenly language?" And I said, "No." He said, "Well, you're going to receive tonight. Tonight's your night. You're going to get it tonight." So we went out to dinner, and when we finished dinner, we went back to his house on the naval base there in Millington. He sat around for a few minutes. He said, "Come on in here, Jim." And he went into the dining room and got an old, chrome, beat-up, torn-up seat chair. Horrible looking. It's the most sanctified, glorified chair you've ever seen. I sat down in that chair. He laid his hands on me and started to pray, and I threw my hands up and started speaking in tongues. A full vocabulary. My wife got mad. She said, "I only got two words, and you got a whole vocabulary." Well, she got hers. She got hers. The Lord is so good. But it was, I guess, 2 or 3 weeks after that night that I received the evidence. And I want to say it that way because the Holy Ghost is not speaking in tongues. That's not it. You get to speak in tongues when you receive the Holy Ghost. So the Lord has been so good to us. My life's changed so completely, so did our life, and we love the Lord very dearly. And that's why we're here tonight. We love the Lord, and by loving him, we love you. Now, don't listen to what I say. Listen to the Spirit tonight, because he's got a message here somewhere down in these scriptures tonight for you. He wants to speak to you. Turn with me to the Gospel of John, to the 13th chapter of the Gospel of John. Yeah, he'll be back. Verse 3 says, "Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he was come from God and he went to God, he rises from the supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that he had poured water into a basin, and he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then he come to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Jesus took upon himself the very works of a bond slave. The people of Israel oftentimes put a person into servitude and let them serve another family for money. But they never, none of the people of Israel ever had to be that doorkeeper who washed the feet of those that came in. This man was a foreigner, always a bond slave that had been purchased with money, who had no freedom coming at all. He was bound over to do this dirty work. Clean the feet. Well, you know, they didn't have shoes, maybe sandals, maybe. And how many paved streets did they have? Well, the only thing they had was some cobblestones around the little village, the towns. Now, the villages didn't have that. So they walked dusty roads, and there was a dust and dirt that accumulated on their feet. And so when they came into the house, they had a servant whose job it was to cleanse the feet of those who came in. They would take those sandals off and wash their feet and dry them with this towel that was girded about them. They kept the towel to do this. And Jesus took upon himself that very job. Now, if Jesus became servant to the man in that day, is he not also willing to minister to you and I today? Has he not laid a foundation that we are to receive of him some work? Well, it looks so bad, though, that he did the dirty work. I mean, he got down on his hands and knees and washed it. How many have been to foot washing? Oh, yes, we've got foot washers. I mean, we know what it's all about. Then you know that it's more humbling to have your feet washed than it is to wash somebody's feet. Did you realize that? It was more humbling to have someone come wash your feet than it was for you. I had no problem in going washing somebody else's feet. But it was very humbling for someone to wash my feet. And our Lord took upon himself this job. And in verse 8, Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me or no part in me. And Jesus, do you think Jesus was really concerned that day in this story about dirty feet? Is that the story that he's telling here? Is it dirty feet he's talking about? You see, that's true. That's true. That's truth. But he had a mission. And he had something that he wanted to portray to you and I that we would receive, that we could become more like him. And this was a part of what he was doing so you and I could do the work that he did. We know that over in the 14th chapter, he said that the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works. So we're supposed to be doing the works of Jesus. He says that he is our example. Well, an example, if you use an example, you have to make an exact replica. It has to be the same. Or it's not an example. You don't use the example. It didn't come out like the example. It has to be exactly like it. Well, Jesus was the example. Ooh, what happened to us? He provided everything that we needed to walk in the same walk that he walked, to do the work that he did. We sang tonight, You Won't Leave Here Like You Came, bound, tormented, oppressed, blind or lame, for the Holy Ghost of Acts is still the same. How about healing? Have you laid hands on the sick, had them healed? I think there's a place when we get so serious with our God and get into this Word and start applying this Word, that as we walk by, just like Peter, our shadow, falling on people will heal. Well, some of you say you're wild. Yeah, I'm wild. I've got to the point that I believe this Word will work. I just believe that the Word will work because my Lord wrote it. He said it. And he's the one that put his stamp of authority on this book, and it will work for you and for me.
Yes. Amen.
So when he says it, I know that it's going to work. Now, when he said that if I don't do this, you'll not have any part of me, that meant that you couldn't have salvation. What's he talking about salvation? I want to look at the third chapter of John, I believe, is where I want to go. You know that Nicodemus came that night to Jesus, and he had to come at night. He was afraid to come in the daytime. How many of us are afraid to approach him in the daytime? Let our workers around about us, our people, our equals, those that know us well, to see us come into Jesus and do the works that Jesus did. Do we do it kind of on the sly? Don't let anybody see this. Well, Nicodemus came in, but I only want to use one verse of this, and verse 5 says, Jesus answered him when he talked about this business of being born again. He said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he can't enter into the kingdom. The water and of the Spirit. You have to have, let me put it this way. If you're born twice, you'll die once. If you're born once, you'll die twice. Get that? See what I said? If you only have a natural birth, you will have two deaths. You will have physical death and spiritual death. But if you're born twice and you're born again, you're born in the flesh and you're born again, you'll only die physically, not spiritually. So this is our place. This is where we want to be. We want to be in that place where we'll only have that old physical death. I don't care about this body. Have you got to that point yet? I don't care about this any longer. The things of the world don't hold any more allure. They're not drawing me anymore. I don't care about those things at all. That scripture over in Matthew in the sixth chapter where it talks about how my God will supply all that we have need of is real. When we have sought Him first, everything will be supplied. Now, we have got to learn how to tap into what God is doing, and we'll find it here in this Word. And God is wanting to do some work here tonight.
Yes.
Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11. Well, let's start at 10. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you're washed. You're washed.
Amen.
You're sanctified. Yes. You're justified. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of the living God. And this Holy Spirit is absolutely necessary in our lives. I see more and more. The background we came from, well, what's your background? Well, mine's sinner. But we came, if you want to know the church background, well, we came out of a Baptist church. And I love them. Those people gave me a foundation. They really gave me something to stand on and to go on. They quit too soon, though. They did not go all the way through. They did not go in with the Holy Spirit and teach me how the Spirit of the Most High God wants to live in me and let me do this life that Jesus has already died to give me, but I have to receive it and to move in it yet, and the Holy Spirit's the one that's going to do this. And that's where they dropped the ball, I'm not talking them. I'm talking about where I am and what happened to me. And because God put His finger down on her, really, first, and she got hungry and said, hey, there has to be more than this. We're working our heads off in the church, and we wasn't trying to get somewhere. We were not doing it to prove ourselves righteous before God and to work our way into heaven. We were doing it because we love God and we're doing it for people. She was, what was that name of that job you had? Wait, now give me the name.
Church
hostess. You know what that is? You know what church hostess is? That's a glorified dishwasher and cook. She ran the kitchen without pay. She taught Sunday school. She was a leader on a bus ministry. We were at every service of the church. We never missed anything. They had two Bible studies during the week, but they were the same, so we went to both of them. because we might have missed something at the first one. We were just hungry. And the preacher taught some good word. I thought I would remember that those books that he used. Weast Word Studies. You ever seen Weast Word Studies? Well, that's where he worked from. Weast Word Studies. And this Chicago man had written up these great big volumes tearing down the Greek language. And we had several of the books of the New Testament that the Greek language was really torn down. This was what he used as a basis. And we got some good knowledge out of that, let me tell you. So much that I went out and bought them. I bought the whole series. And there's gathering dust in my bookcase. Because all of a sudden the Holy Spirit began to feed us. We didn't need a book some man had written. The Holy Spirit began to feed. So we find that it is necessary for the Holy Spirit to move in our lives for us to have those things that we desire. When we say justified, I praise God that we are. When we say sanctified and justified, it sounds like we're bragging on self. But you know, that's nothing on our part. That's a part of God's glory. And the justification is Jesus speaking us justified because of the work that he did, not what I did. And for you, it was the same. And it was God's grace that allowed it to happen. Because surely we didn't deserve any of this. So we have to have this Holy Spirit at work in our lives. Now let's go back to John in the 16th chapter. In verse 23 it says, "And in that day ye shall ask me nothing." He's talking about he has not yet gone to the cross. But there will be a day when you'll see him again. And he says, "In that day you'll ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you that whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto ye have asked nothing in my name, and ye shall receive that your joy may be full." Now that's loaded. I mean, that verse is really loaded. He tells us to use his name. Now the name is, in the Bible, the name is characteristic of the person themselves. It tells what they are. And when you use that name of Jesus, the power of all heaven is behind that name. And he's also interested in you enough that he'll let you have your joy. You want your joy? You want real joy? God will let you have joy. When you have met the condition, you see, promises of God are covered by a condition. And when we meet the condition, the promise is ours. Yes. And we have to meet that condition. So we will begin to realize that we can use this name. We have the right, the authority from God to take this name and go using this name wherever we go. And first, man, we're going to do a real Bible study tonight. 1 Peter 1:22. He says, "Seeing you purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever." Have you obeyed the truth? Have we opened this word up? High value on it, that I would rather please my God than I would please myself. This is what he's talking about. We have to learn to please him, place him first. When you get up in this morning, I think George was talking about when before our feet hit the floor. "Lord, I bless your name this morning. I thank you for giving me a good night's sleep. Now I ask you, Lord, direct my path this day. Show me what you'd have me do. Guide me and direct me in the things that I'm going to do. Let the enemy not ever have any control over me. Don't let him give him a foothold in my life. Keep me steadfast in your word and my thoughts on you today."
Yes, amen.
When we do this, do we get up thinking these thoughts? Is this where we are? This is where we're supposed to be. Follow the word. And he says, "You purified your soul in obeying the truth." And do we love one another the way God says love one another? Well, I'm sure we do. I'm sure we love to the best of our ability. But is it the way God wants us to love? You see, we still have room to move yet within this word, in the confines of the word. We have not yet attained that spot that God wants us to, and there's still room for us. He says, not of corruptible seed. That means that, you know, the natural birth could have been as a corruptible seed. But we are born first and a newborn being born again, like I was reading there in the third chapter of John, where Nicodemus talked about being born again. And we are born by incorruptible seed. And if we have incorruptible seed, then that is a pure seed within us. Glenn talked about it today. Hey, we don't have to sin. I believe it was Glenn that said something about this today. And what are we doing sinning? Well, maybe it was George. I don't know. We hear these things and our times run together. You know, these days run together. Not yet. We're still fresh enough. But I heard it today. And over in 1 John, he was talking about that we don't have to sin. He tells us we don't have to do that. If we sin, we know not the Father. So we are born of a pure seed, and it was how? By the Word of God. By the Word. We've done it before, and I've probably done it here. I'm going to do it again. Luke 1. I think this, you know, I never did know this until the Lord showed it to my wife. We've used it over and over again. She would go to the preacher, and she'd ask questions. He'd say, well, I'm busy now. I'll get back to you. And we're still waiting on him to come back. And that was 15 years ago when we left that church. So we're still waiting on him to answer some of those questions. And this was one of them. How can a virgin bring forth a child? Oh, it's the Holy Ghost. But how? Well, the Holy Spirit does it. But how? 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 Well, he tells you how. All you have to do is read it. Luke, the first chapter, I'll just pick up at verse 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Look at verse 38. And Mary answered, behold the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. There you are, right there. Be it unto me. Do you get it yet? She received the word of God. She received it. She said, it'll be unto me. It'll be in me. Just like you said it. I receive it. I believe it. I believe it. And this is how you receive the word of God. You believe it. And it conceives in you, and it brings forth fruit in your life. For every part of the word that you receive in your life, in your heart, spirit, man, here. You read it, but it stays up here when you read it until you put it in your spirit, and the Holy Spirit will put it there if you're open to the Spirit, and you've got to allow that word room in your life, and you've got to receive it. And he can't take it away from you. The devil can never steal it from you. Once it gets in your spirit, it cannot be stolen from you. The Lord can pull it back out. Oh, you don't remember it. But when you have need of it, the Lord will take it out of your spirit and say, now, use this. I remember the first time that ever happened to me. I had just been saved. Didn't even have the Holy Spirit. Home of unsaved people. And he was talking to the husband and wife, and there were about three young girls from age, 4 to 12 in their house. And they questioned me. And they started asking me hard questions. You know, kids can ask hard questions. And I started quoting them scripture that I had no idea that I knew. And I gave them answers on the questions that they asked that I had not even the slightest idea that I knew at all. And the Lord pulled that out of my spirit as there was a need to talk to those children. And he did it it was not me. I didn't even know that I knew those scriptures. And I quoted them. I quoted them word for word. And that's my God at work. So this is how Mary conceived, and this is how the word is conceived in you to bring forth fruit out of your life. And until it gets there, it will not bring forth fruit in your life. It won't bring fruit up here. That's not good ground at all. This is flesh up here. And God doesn't receive anything from the flesh. You know that. You know the word says that it will not, that the flesh cannot please God. And as long as that word stays up here, you can't walk in it. The devil will steal it. He'll take it away from you. And you will not please God with it. You won't even try to please God with it. But when you put it in your spirit, that's a different story. Okay, go back to John. I just try 15 this time. Now, as Mary received that word, when you receive that word, it says in John 15:3, now you are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Now, when you have received. Everywhere I go, I've probably done this here before too, I do it everywhere I go. Has anybody got an amplified Bible here tonight? You got one. Turn to John 3 for me right quick. Okay, I'm sorry. I want him to read something here. I want to get over close to him so that he can read in John 3. What are you in, 1 John or John?
John.
John 3, read 16.
John 3:16?
Mm-hmm.
In the Amplified?
Yeah. Well, I want 15, I think. Try 15 first. 15.
In order that everyone who believes in him, who cleaves to him, trusts him, and relies on him, may not perish, but have eternal life and actually live forever.
All right, that's good enough right there. Did you hear what it said when he said believes? Repeat it again. Believes what?
Who cleaves to him, trusts him, and relies on him.
Cleaves to him, trusts in him, and relies on him. The word believe, that's the word believe. We take it as mental assenting is what it means in your language, in my language today. To believe means that you mentally assent or agree with that word. That we believe it to be right, to be true. But the word that he used, and the next one right over behind that in a verse or two, and I'm not going to get you to read it, but it says it to adhere to, rely on, and to walk in. Now that's the one I like. And to believe to the degree that you must walk in it. Now, that's what he's talking about, to believe this word. You're going to walk in it. And only this way can we receive the things that God has prepared for us. Now, God cleans us up. He does this, and the reason for it is over it. Let's look at Ephesians in the 5th chapter, verse 25. He says, husband, love your wife as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that we should be holy and without blemish. Now, Mildred talked and told us about spots and wrinkles. What are spots and wrinkles in your life? They are demons in your life that are disrupting the things that God wants to do and the things that you desire to do for God. They are out to destroy all that God has prepared for you and for you to move in the power of the Holy Spirit. And these spots and wrinkles, they're simply demons. That's all they are. Demon have a person. Can a demon have a Christian? Well, everybody else, you know, can a Christian have a demon? But the title of the book was Can the Demon Have a Christian? Well, of course he can. Who do you think he's going after? He's already got the unsaved person. And so therefore, we know that he's out after us, that he wants us to, this church that he's presenting to himself. What church is this? We're that city that's coming down, that New Jerusalem. Did you know that?
Yes.
We're that New Jerusalem that it talks about in the end time and in the last, in chapter, 21 of Revelation, that it's that New Jerusalem coming down. Well, that New Jerusalem is God's people. And the foundation, well, what was the foundation? Well, it names some beautiful stones, but it also names 12 apostles as the foundation of that city. And we, you know, God loves us, and he uses a type of language that the world can't understand at all, but he did it so his people could understand, and not only understand, but to receive what he wanted them to have. And it was written in a time when there was much oppression in the world. The people during this time were under the rule of a foreign nation much of the time that the Bible was, this part of the Bible was written. We find a lot of types and shadows here that God has a message that he's giving to us. But the inside of the word that we read, or the present word that we read here, and I understand what he says, that he's he talks about how husbands, he has to use an example that we can understand. Our husbands love your wife. Well, if I didn't ever tell my wife I loved her, don't you think she'd begin to wonder about me after a while? If you didn't tell your wife, or your wife didn't tell your husband you love them, don't you think they would wonder about you for a while? So he's saying that as husbands and wives love and care for one another and watch over one another, that this is a church that he's watching over his church in exactly the same way as we do. And that's why he uses these little examples that he does. I've got a little more in this 13th chapter of John. That's Jesus washing these feet here. In verse 9 of 13, Simon Peter said, you'll never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, they'll have no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. He wants a total job here, doesn't he? He wants to be clean all over. And Jesus said unto him, he that is washed need not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. Not all. Of course, when he says not all, it goes on and explains. There's the one there that doesn't belong there. Well, he does belong there because this was God's plan. Jesus could have, at any time, had the power. I do believe he was God. He could have, at any time, stepped aside. He had that authority, that power. But in obedience, he went to the cross to do the work so that you and I could have fellowship with the Father. And had he not done that, it would have never, you wouldn't have been here tonight. None of us. Not one of us would have been here tonight had it not been for that. So he was obedient to the calling that God had placed on him. And when he talks about his feet, he's talking about Peter. When he speaks of Peter's feet, he's talking about his walk. What is your walk today? Where are you walking? Well, I know you go to work or you go into the home. And where is your spiritual walk? Where are you walking with Christ today? Where is this place that you have in the Lord? Are you having close communion with him? Or are we just one that visit occasionally with the Lord and we share a little bit along? Well, he wants us to walk in such a way that we will walk above the things of this world. He wants us to get our feet off of the ground. See, how can I do that? Spiritually, to take your feet off of the ground, get yourself out of this world situation, out of the desires for the things of the world, to separate yourself from this and to put him first in your life and go walk with him. And as we do this, don't you know that he is going to supply all of our needs, that there will be nothing, no want in the body, that he will minister to these people in such a manner. Did you see Peter and James and John and Paul having to worry over where's my next meal coming from? No, they didn't ever consider that because they knew their authority and they knew who they served. And when he had said, do this, they knew that everything else would be taken care of. Now, when you read in the Bible, if my Bible says it, do you believe it? Do you believe that book? What we're talking about, believe? Walking in it? Are we walking in that book? Do you believe it? Well, when he said that he would supply all your needs according to his riches and glory, are you receiving all of your needs supplied? Or do you still have needs in your life? See, we hadn't attained everything yet. We still have a room to move on with him yet to acquire the things that he's prepared for us. We have not arrived yet. Why? Because there's still a lot of spots and blemishes on us. This really is deliverance, is what I'm talking about tonight. Do you know that as long as those demonic forces have a place in you, you cannot serve God because they will continually work against God? You say, well, I don't have demons. Well, how about the flesh? Just your natural flesh. Your flesh walking in the land. Well, your flesh wants the things of the world. Isn't that what the demons do to you, is to make you want the things of the world so you'll get your eyes off of the Lord? And they will burden you down with so many things that you can't even serve God. I used to think I needed a lot of things, and I wanted a lot of things. But, I never did acquire more than many of those things that I wanted, and I feel now that I'm better off by not having them. I am not burdened down. If when the Lord says go, I can go now. I don't have to drag along the things of the world with me any longer. So God is knew what he was doing when he planned it this way, and when he gave us this command to walk with him in this manner. Verse 11 says, "For he knew who should betray him, therefore he said unto him, you're not all clean." Well, of course, he's talking about Judas, the man. Now Judas, over in verse 25 of the same chapter, he then lying on Jesus' breast said unto him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered to him, "It is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it." Now, what he was talking about there, I should have read further back, but time's running out, and I don't want to spend too much time on that. But what he's talking about is his betrayal. And he said, "This is going to be the one that I give the sop to." Now, how did he know that? Well, over in Luke 22, that's right, you don't have to turn it on. We just want to show you a verse of Scripture. Verse 1, if you want to mark his down. "Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. And then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of 12. Satan entered into one that has been walking with Jesus these 3 years, or at least a great portion of that time. A man that had personal contact with our Lord. He walked with him. He heard his teaching. He knew what he was about. He heard all that he had to say. He went his way and he communed with the chief priests and the captains how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad and covenanted to give him money. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude." Judas had this plan. Now, when I read this, although that it's the one to whom he gave the sop, in the 12th chapter of John, in verse 6, we're talking Judas. He cried out in verse 5, "Why was this not sold, this ointment not sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?" This, he said, not that he cared for the poor, because he was a thief and he had the bag and he bare what was in it. He was a thief. Can you imagine? Don't you know that Jesus knew this? Don't you know that he knew that he had a thief walking with him? Yet he knew his ultimate end, his plan for your redemption was greater than this one who was going to betray him. In fact, that was a part of your redemption, that he should go to the cross. He had to go to the cross. He had to be the perfect sacrifice, and yet Judas was part of it, and he walked with him. So this is why he said here in this that you're not all clean. "So after he had washed their feet and he had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know you not what I've done unto you? You call me Lord, you call me Master and Lord, and you say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye ought also to wash one another's feet." Well, is that a command for us to have foot washing? What kind of foot washing? let me tell you something about this scripture. The scriptures tell us that Satan was cast out into the world, into the earth. He is prince of the power of the air, called prince of this world one place, called his domain. This is his domain. I've heard it said that his domain goes from under the ground, at some point under the ground, to the top of the atmosphere. That his ruling domain is there. I don't know. I have no idea. But I know he's on the earth. Now, if you walk the earth, and the day that they walked the earth here, and you wore sandals, what happened to your feet? What did they pick up? Dirt. What was Jesus talking about, though? You picked up the things of the world. The world itself. You became a part of it. It became a part of you. You took it to your own feet. You walked in this and it clung to you. And it sure will cling to you. The things of the world. You just give it a half a chance. And the devil will see to it that that it is drawn to you, that it will hold on to you, and it'll draw you away to the point that you will not even desire to serve God, given enough things in this world. So, what he is telling us here is that you and his disciples had done this. They have picked up enough of the things of the world, and I'm going to cleanse you. Now, you, as my people, you cleanse one another from here on out. You wash your fellow's feet. You cleanse their feet. You take those things of the world off of them. You minister deliverance to get these things of the world out of them and off of them. And we do this in deliverance. We call off, well, everything that has a name, there's a demon behind it. People say, well, you're always looking for demons. Every time you open a rock, there's a demon under it. No, there's not. There's seven. There's a whole family of them down there. We're not looking for them. They're just there. And it's got to the point in this day and this time that they are there. And I think that our fellow ministers here will agree with me that the demonic forces are having a field day in this world today because people will not stand up and do spiritual warfare to stop their work. And they're just having a field day. That's why there's seven under the rock. So, somebody has to do it. Somebody has to get in there and start throwing these things out. In Romans 12, verse 10, it says, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Do we prefer, do we look to our brother's good before we do ourselves? Or do we take to ourselves first? You see, old self is a hard taskmaster to start with. And you are your worst enemy. You are your worst enemy.
Right.
Self. Self is your worst enemy. He wants you to have the very best. And he'll run in front of you. Well, when Irma wanted that piece of pie down there on the table, I said, no, you're not going to have my piece of pie. Self has reared its head up. Well, don't you know this is how we react, though? And every opportunity that self has, that's what started the whole work. Satan wanted to be like the Most High God. He wanted, the pride in him welled up, and he wanted to exalt his throne above God. And he said, I will be like the Most High God. I think there are five things that he said that I will do there. And because of that, he lost his place in heaven. He was a beautiful angel. He was beautiful. He had a job up there. He had a part of a ministry of music. And he had other work that he did. But he was a beautiful angel. I've never seen him. I don't think he looks the same today. I think that sin changes us, and I know it changed him, and it makes our countenance much harder. We had a young man come to us. His mother sent him over to. He's 19 years old. He wouldn't come to our church. She did. She and her husband came to church. Had a 19-year-old son live with them, in the house with them. He wouldn't come to church. So they sent him to our house for deliverance one night. He finally agreed to come simply because he couldn't sleep at night because the demons on the ceiling kept keeping him awake talking to him. And the ceiling was full of demons. And they just roamed around up over his head all of the time, all over the place, demons everywhere. And he said that he needed to get some sleep. He couldn't sleep at night and he had to work the next day. Well, that's not a legitimate reason to get deliverance. But we said, well, we'll see what we can do about getting you set free so that maybe you can turn to the Lord and receive what God really wants for you. So we started to work on that young man. And, you know, all of a sudden that young boy manifested. Now, when I say manifest, it means that demon takes over and you begin to see the demon at work. His eyebrows run out over his eyes like this. His cheeks became full. He had a grimace in his mouth. He's 19 years old, and when this thing got through with his face, he looked 45. His chest, he got much bigger than the chest. His chest got real big. And his first words is, "I'm going to kill you." Well, we've been threatened before. We know about demons wanting to kill us, and that doesn't really bother us anymore. It didn't bother us then. So we went to work on him, and we finally got this thing to tell us why he got in or something about himself. And he told us a story about the family, or how he got in the family. And when we told this story to his mother, she said, "How on earth did he know that? He doesn't know anything about that." As it turns out, 100 years before this, and this was 15, 20 years ago, 100 years before that, a member of the family had killed a slave in Middle Tennessee. And I don't know all the story. Do you remember? I don't guess it. They were cursed. The family was cursed because of the killing a slave. Did you know that slaves sat around on the side of the houses when they had free time and scratched in the ground and cursed all the people? Did you know that's what they were doing when they squatted down around these houses? They knew how to do this. They knew how to put curses on you. You know one of the worst curses the easiest curse they put on? Curse of obesity. Insanity and obesity were two of the most prevalent curses that the slaves used in those days, because women did not want to be fat. So therefore it was a real curse upon them to become very fat. And insanity was the other one. But anyhow, this boy that never knew anything about this story, but yet that demon knew all about it and told us about it. This unseen world is real, people. I think most of you realize that it is a real world out there. Well, he undoubtedly did. He went back to work, and he didn't come back for any more deliverance. Now, I could sit here the rest of the night and talk to you about the situations that we've run into in that, but I don't want to do that tonight. In Galatians, in the 6th chapter, verse 1 says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest I be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ." This is another way that we walk with the Lord. This is another situation that how we give ourselves over to God and how we are to walk in this land today. I had several of them. That was the second. And then 1 Peter 5, verse 7, has another one. And I'll read these right quick. He says, "Cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you." We know, well, let's back up and read some more of that and get it in our context here. "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and he giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he will exalt you in due time. Cast your care upon him, for he careth for you." And this is how we walk. I have seen people in the ministry that are so full of themselves. Boy, I don't see how any humility could ever force its way into their life. They are the most important thing in the world. And when you run up on these people, they don't have time. They preach, but they don't have time for people. And I thought, hey, we're supposed to minister to God's people. Hey, we've just been talking about it. I preached the other night on loving one another, and God's love in us, and that we are to allow God to move within us and to have his way. There's the rest of that scripture says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." So, he is as a roaring lion. He makes a lot of noise, although he has power behind it to back himself up. We hear people talk the devil doesn't have any power. Don't be fooled. The devil has an awful lot of power. He doesn't have near as much power as my God has, but he has some power. Now, don't you go after him. You're no match for him in the flesh. Don't you try to do it in the flesh. Don't you try to fight the devil or even a demon in the flesh, in the natural. You better have the Holy Spirit be filled with the Spirit and the Spirit of the living God covering you completely when you go into battle with these things, because you're no match for a demon. They know the Word better than you do. They have to obey that Word. They know they do. Now, he isn't going to jump just because you say boo. And he's not going to jump every time you quote the Word to him. But the Word will make him comply to what that Word says. If you will stand upon that Word and your authority, knowing who you are in Christ Jesus, that demon has to go.
Yes.
And this is what we're talking about. And this is what we need to get people delivered, is to have people who know who you are, to know the authority that you have, that the Most High God has given us this Word, and it's real, and as we stand upon the Word, then the Holy Spirit moves with us. But if we don't have the Spirit moving with us, we better back off right now. We better stop right where we are and get in with the Lord and renew ourselves with God before we go on into deliverance. So, I've seen too many people, and I've seen it work over and over again. I've seen people that have, in our own church, that have been trying to minister and got trampled by a demon because they tried to do it in the flesh. And you tell them you can't do it. You have to trust in the power of the Holy Spirit. You have to be covered with the blood of Jesus and to move under the power of the Spirit. But they still try. He is powerful. Over in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4 says, verse 3, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine into them." And he'll blind you. He'll blind Christians. He'll do his best to keep you from hearing the Word. We have an elderly man in our church. He can turn the Word around as you speak it, and it'll come back to you different from what you said it. And the enemy, he's very legalistic. He loves the Word. He loves the Lord. But he's legalistic. And as he does it, this Word gets turned around in his life and in his mind. And it never comes back to us the same as when we spoke it. And this is the demon at work that will twist the Word that you can't even hear the Word. So be careful about it. And then, let's see, another one there, in chapter 10, another very familiar scripture that we use. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." We have to use the spiritual warfare. We have to go by the Spirit. Our weapons are spiritual weapons. You've got the blood of Jesus. You've got the name of Jesus. And you've got the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit. Pardon? And the Holy Spirit. And this is what we have to fight with. But it is sufficient. It is enough. And I think we've done just about what I want to do and what God wants to do. The disciples, when they came back to Jesus, bragged about how the demons were under their authority. And he said, "Don't be proud over that. Be proud of the fact that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I give you authority to tread over serpents and scorpions and over all of the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you." That's Luke 10:19. And in the other scripture that we stand upon is in Mark 16, and it says that these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name you shall cast out devils. And it goes on to say you'll speak with new tongues, you'll take up serpents. If you drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm you. God loves us, and he wants us cleaned up. He wants us so he can move in the land today, so he'll have a place and a way to go. So he has provided everything that we have need of. And then he said, Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never, never pass away. So we can stand upon these things that God has given unto us and know that we can use His word and that it will still work, because my God is real.
Yes, amen.
Well, I didn't go into any specifics, demons to go after tonight, but I've always got a list. And anybody want deliverance?
Amen.
Well, we'll call out a few demons. We used curses this afternoon. Let's go after pride. Spirit of pride. Well, wait. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I take authority over this place. I ask you to bind every spirit that is loose here and to carry them out. Have your angels remove them from our presence so they will not harass us in any manner, and to bind the spirits in every person here until I call their name, and then release them to come out, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I command the spirit to be obedient, the demon to be obedient to my voice, to your name, and to come forth from the person in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you for deliverance. I thank you for what you're going to do for this people even before we start. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Spirit of pride. Pride in the name of the Lord Jesus. Loose them and come out. Loose them in the mighty name of Jesus. Pride. You have no place here. Ego. Ego. You've got to go. Pride and ego. Self-reliance, come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Loosen and come out. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Come out of them. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Loosen them. Loosen them in Jesus' name. I call that religious spirit out. That religious spirit out in the name of the Lord Jesus. That one that tries to get us over on the religious side. Come out of them. Come out of them in Jesus' name. That religious spirit. Loosen them and let them go. Loosen them in Jesus' name. The lying spirit. That lying spirit. Come out. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. The lying spirit. The rebellious spirit. In the name of Jesus, let them go. Let them go. You can't stay. The word's alive and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. You've got to go. Come out. The word's alive, and it says go. It has the authority of the Most High God, of Jesus Christ behind it. You cannot stay. Rebellion. Rebellion and lying spirits. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let them go. Let them go. Let them go. Come out. Come out. That spirit of unbelief. Unbelief in the name of the Lord Jesus. Hello, spirit of doubt. Doubt. You've got to go too. Come on out of there. Doubt and unbelief in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Let them go. Let them go. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Loose them and come out. Loose them and come out. You have no place here. You have no place in God's people. Jesus said it is finished. You are finished. You are finished. You are defeated. You are defeated. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. That Antichrist spirit. Antichrist spirit. In the name of the Lord Jesus. That other Jesus spirit. In the name of Jesus. Let him go. Let him go. Let him go in the name of Jesus. That one that is against Jesus. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. The Antichrist spirit against him. Come out in Jesus' name. Loose them. Loose them. Loose my people, saith the Lord. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. Come out. Come out of them. Come out in Jesus' name. This is a blood-bought people. You have no right to them. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Purchased with blood. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lust. Spirit of lust. Lust of the flesh. Lust of the flesh. Lust of the eye. Lust of the eye. Come on out of there. Lust of flesh. Lust of eye. Pride of life. Pride of life. Come on out. Come out. I call out a spirit of sin. Spirit of sin. Loose them and come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. A spirit of sin. In Jesus' name. Loose those people. Come on out of there. Come on out. Move. 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 In Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. Loose them. I call a spirit of fear. Fear, all types of fear, big fear, little fear, terror, come out in Jesus' name. All types of fear, fear, loose them and let them go, loose them and let them go. Fears, fears, fear of the unknown, fear of the known, come out in Jesus' name, fear of husband, fear of wife, fear of children, come out in Jesus' name. Fear of the job in the name of the Lord Jesus. Come on out. Come on out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. All types of fear. All types of fear and hurts. All those hurts. The hurts. Those things, those words that have been spoken. All the words that have been spoken in Jesus' name that brought hurts. In the name of the Lord Jesus, loosen and come out. I destroy the power of those words in the name of the Lord Jesus. I command the spirit of hurt. Spirit of hurt. Come on out of that. Come on out. Move, move, move in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I call it spirit of anger. Anger. Come out. Come out in the name of the Lord Jesus. All spirits of anger in the name of the Lord Jesus. Strife. Strife. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Strife. Loose them and let them go. In the name of Jesus. Come on out. Come on out in Jesus' name. Spirits of infirmity. All types of sickness. Sicknesses and infirmity and disease. Spirits of disease. Come on out. Come on out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Come out. Spirit of whoredom. Whoredom. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Spiritual whoredom. Spiritual whoredom. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus, where we've given glory to other than God. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. That spirit that lets us seek other gods. Come out. Come out. Idolatry. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. Spirit of whoredom, spiritual whoredom. Spirit of incest, spirit of incest. In the name of the Lord Jesus, come on out. We did this today, we'll do it again tonight. Curse of the eating of the blood, curse of eating of the blood. Come on out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, cursed of incest, cursed of bestiality. Curse of idolatry, idolatry, curse of a bastard, curse of Noah, curse of Ham, curse of Ham. In the name of the Lord Jesus, let him go. Come on out of there. Come on out. Move. Take a deep breath. Come on, work with me. Take a deep breath. Exhale. Exhale them. Blow them out. Blow them out. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Come on out of there. No, you've got to go. You've got to go. Come on out. Come out. Curse of a bastard. Curse of Noah. The curse of Ham. Come out. That's alcohol. Alcohol. Spirit of alcohol. Come on out of there. Come on out. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Curse of dope. All types of dope. Prescription. All addiction. Addiction to prescription drugs. Addiction to any type of a drug. Addiction. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. The craving. I call the craving out. The desire. The taste. The high. Come on out of there. Come on out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Loose them and let them go. Loose them and let them go. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. I call out that spirit of luck. That luck in the name of the Lord Jesus. That spirit of luck in the name of the Lord Jesus. That spirit of Lucifer. Lucifer, come on out of there. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I call out a spirit of compromise in the name of the Lord Jesus. Compromise in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Spirit of compromise in Jesus' name. Let them go. Let them go. You have no right. You're defeated. 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 Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Pride. Pride. You've got to go. Come out. Pride and ego. Let them go. Let them go in the name of Jesus. 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 Deception. Deception. Spirits of deception. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Deception. Depression. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Depression. Depression. Come out. Come out. Strife. Strife. Let them go. Let them go. Lust. Lust. Pride, compromise, and fear. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. Come on out. Come on out. Come out. Come on out. Come out. Come out. Move. 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 Move in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. Let him go. Let him go. In the name of Jesus. I call allergies out. I call that spirit of allergy. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I break that that curse, that mayhem curse in the name in the name of the Lord Jesus. Come on out. Come on out. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out in the name of Jesus. All allergies. All your allergies. Loose them and let them go. Loose them and let them go. Come on out. Come on out. Move, move, move in Jesus' name. No, you've got to go. You're defeated. The word's alive. It's real. You have to go, demon. You can't stay. You cannot defy the living God. Come out. Come on out of there. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You cannot have them. You cannot have them. The word demands that you loose them and come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus. That spirit of destiny. Destiny. You've got to go. You've got to go. Spirit of destiny. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Spirit of luck. Look, you've got to go in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. That rebellion. Rebellion. Rebellion against authority. Rebellion against God. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. All spirits of rebellion. Rebellion. You've got to go. Come out. Move. Move in Jesus' name. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. You have no place here. You have no place. Rebellion. Unbelief. Hurts. The Antichrist spirit. Lust spirits. In the name of the Lord Jesus. I break soul ties. I break the soul tie between you and your mother. In the name of the Lord Jesus. I break the soul tie between you and your father. In the name of the Lord Jesus. I set you free from those soul ties. I command those soul ties to loose you. I ask the angels to sever those ties, to break them, to sever them, seal the ends that they cannot be restored in the name of the Lord Jesus. Soul ties, let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. Soul ties to children, adult children, members of the family, all members of the family. I break soul ties with members of the family. I break soul ties with organizations that you've been in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I release you from the bondage of those organizations you've been in by breaking a soul tie with those organizations. I break a soul tie with former churches you were in. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I break that tie that you'll not be drawn or hindered by a church that you have attended in past times. In the name of the Lord Jesus, loose them and let them go. Loose them and let them go in the name of Jesus. 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 A curse of sickness, a curse of sickness upon you. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. We had a lot of results from a crippling spirit today. In the name of the Lord Jesus, a crippling curse. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I call that crippling curse out. In Jesus' name, loose them and let them go. Loose them and let them go. In the name of the Lord Jesus.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.